Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today, we have Lai Salmason as a guest. Lai is Vietnamese American. He serves as the webmaster of the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. He also serves as a lay leader at Fairview Baptist Church in Apex. Hello, Lai. How are you?
Hey, Sammy. Thank you for having me today. It's a great pleasure to do this with you today.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And it's a great privilege and honor to work with you for God's kingdom.
Same here. Thank you.
And in this episode, I would love to hear your personal story. I have a few questions, and I'm very excited to listen to your personal story. So let me go with the first question. Can you tell us about your family?
Okay, let me start with my wife. I got married to Paula about 22 years ago. Met her in a young singles Bible study group at Providence Baptist Church in Raleigh. I do remember she was an answer to prayer. You know, God answers prayers, and she was my very first prayer answered, I have to say. When I got saved in December of 95, I met her several weeks after I prayed to God to help me find a good church to grow in my faith. And a wife, in that very next month, I prayed very specifically for a very mature and faithful Christian woman with brown hair and green eyes. Yes, I did go into detail when I asked God this for in this prayer. I prayed she was raised humbly on a farm and would be working in a corporate environment. You see, I wanted a humble, hardworking, smart, and beautiful young woman, and God answered my prayers and all these requests. I tell you, God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Paula and I got married 18 months later in June of 97. We have two daughters, Jeslyn and Josie. Jeslyn is currently in her sophomore year at UNC Greensboro studying music education. She aspires to be a chorus teacher in high school and perhaps a music director at a church. You know, I'm sensing she wants to be a worship director because she is currently helping lead worship at Mercy Hill Baptist Church in Greensboro and also assisting with the crew on the Greensboro campus. My younger daughter, Josie, is 17 years old and has special needs. Now, this has been very difficult throughout my life with her, but she has been a huge blessing. She goes to Apex High School in an advanced intellectually disabled class with one-on-one assistance throughout the school day. She has the cognitive ability of a one-year-old and doesn't speak, but just a couple of words. Well, I tell you, she is a joy and definitely a gift from the Lord. Paula, my wife, stays at home while I work so that Josie gets her 24-hour, 7-day-a-week care. I also have my mother, Hua, who lives in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And by the way, she just got saved this past Sunday at the Vietnamese Baptist Church in Fayetteville.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, wow, praise the Lord. That was a miracle of God for sure. In fact, my dad, he passed away about 7 years ago, and he was a Christian for the last 14 years of his life. He was a retired Army vet and served in the Vietnam War. I also have three brothers named An, Lin, and Jim, and I have a sister named Song. I was definitely an integral part of sharing the gospel with my brother Jim. I remember him, my dad, and my mother praying for them daily for the rest of my immediate family to get saved as well. Has been just on my heart all these years as well. So it's just a praise to see my mom finally come to the Lord.
Amen. You know, every time I met you, you mentioned about your mom and we prayed, and it's a great to hear that God has answered your prayer and your mom is saved. So
yes,
I really rejoice with you. I saw that in your Facebook post.
Yes, so, that's a praise.
That's great. Now, the second question I have for you is my favorite question. How did you become a follower of Jesus? How did you come to faith in Christ?
Well, I was introduced to Christ at a very young age, actually. I was 8 years old living in Spring Lake, North Carolina, which is right outside of Fort Bragg, where my father served in the Army. I first heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ by my grandma Daisy. She was my dad's mother from Minnesota, and I called her Grandma Daisy because I just loved her so much. She sent me a gospel tract on my 8th birthday and was a very loving grandmother, very strong as a Christian, and always said, "Jesus is coming back soon. Jesus is coming soon. Lie, be ready, because he is going to be back soon." So, you know, I asked my dad about Jesus, and he would tell me that, yes, Jesus is coming back soon. But he also gave me the other side of the coin, that the beast would be coming too in the future to ruin the world. So he kind of scared me a little bit with the beast. But let's just say at that age, I was afraid of both God and the beast. Living in the mid-70s was the end of the Vietnam War, and then came the fear of the communists, and the Cold War was on my mind quite a bit. I remember at that age that I wouldn't live past 10 years old if the United States and Russia decided to push the button. Mm-hmm. All I can think was, boom,
That's right. You know,
the world was destroyed with nuclear holocaust. We only lived a mile or so from Fort Bragg in Pope Air Force Base. Oftentimes we would hear the military practicing live bombing as helicopters and C-130s flew overhead. So I experienced nightmares that year, and most revolved around the end of the world. My parents never took me to church, but only when we visited Grandma and Grandpa in Minnesota, and that happened about every 4 years. So I remember a bus to Vacation Bible School came around our trailer park in the summer of 1978. So I asked my mom if I could go, and she said, yeah, you can go. So after asking my three brothers and sister if they wanted to go, they said no. So I got on the bus reluctantly by myself, hoping to learn more about God. So I went for several hours each day, Monday through Friday, and learned the two greatest commandments during that week, and also memorized them from Mark 10:12-30-31. That Friday, the preacher shared the ABCs of the gospel and the invitation. And at the invitation I walked forward and repented and received Christ into my heart. After I got home, I told everybody that I got saved, but nobody seemed to care or understand what I experienced that week. Soon I began to forget about God as well, since we never went to church. You see, my dad and mom really never practiced any kind of religion, even though my dad's side of the family were all Christians. My grandma Daisy was very excited to hear about it, though, and sent me a Bible and some more tracts, but I never got around to reading them. They went into my drawer and just collected dust. Was my conversion real? I thought to myself, did I really accept Jesus into my life? When I think about it, I would honestly have to say no, since my early years did not reflect living out my faith as a Christian. So years later, at the age of 16, I became friends with my best friend Jack at Pine Forest High School in Fayetteville. I would go to his Presbyterian church about once every other month. He was an immature Christian, and at the time, but would become the greatest influence for me over the years. Let's fast forward just a couple of years. After college at Fayetteville Tech Community College, I received a job at Northern Telecom in 91. For the next 5 years, I worked there on second shift from 1991 to 95. Those 5 years was the time God really got my attention. I had two separate roommates during those years, with one sharing a townhome and the second renting a room from his house. So let's talk about my first roommate. She was suffering from manic depression and wanted to commit suicide on occasion, so that's why I had to move out and find a new roommate. She even confessed to me that she wanted to burn down her house and me in it with her, so that for me was a wake-up call. Wow, I could die. My second roommate seemed fine the first year, and then developed a drug habit with marijuana. You know, I kind of clued in that he liked to smoke once in a while because I can smell it in the backyard. The second year I knew him, he began shooting rock cocaine and became addicted to it. One night his girlfriend came down to the kitchen where I was getting a snack to tell me that she was very concerned for her boyfriend about his addictions. And then all of a sudden my roommate comes downstairs high on crack cocaine and points his gun right in my face. And you know, I thought I was going to die, Sammy. That was the longest few seconds of my life. And I wasn't able to think about anything except that I'm about to die. Just in that moment, I would surely end up in hell with all the sins I committed in my lifetime, I thought. Those few seconds seemed like minutes. Then what seemed like that for a long time, his girlfriend rescued me. She grabbed his gun away and I found myself running out the front door. I waited out there and she ended up coming out and telling me that she would take me back to her house and let me sleep on her couch while her boyfriend got sober. But long story short, I moved away and lived alone in a one-bedroom apartment for the next several years. God got my attention that night, but I didn't pursue him and soon forgot about death, even though I'd faced that several times in those years. So a couple of years pass, and I had only one real friend, and his name is Jack. I constantly worked a lot of overtime, had very little time for socializing during that time. I slept and worked and slept and worked, and this kind of repeated day after day. And in my fifth year in 1995, I went to a state of loneliness and depression. You know, I felt as though life was meaningless and futile. Was life all about working to pay the bills and then enjoying some of it on the weekend vacations once in a while? You know, my friend Jack and I continued to hang out about twice a month and visited many different churches during that year, including a Catholic church, Pentecostal, Methodist, Presbyterian, and even Baptist. I heard the word of God many times over the years in sermons and the gospel on occasion, but it didn't make sense to me. Then in December of 95, Jack and I visited the Garner Church of Christ. I heard a sermon that opened my eyes to the seriousness of my sins, and only a holy and just God would have to punish me for rejecting Christ. In the sermon, the pastor used the Ten Commandments as a measuring tool to see if I would fail. And in my mind, I broke all ten when he was preaching it. I committed murder because God said, if you regard hatred toward another, you have already committed murder in your heart. If you lusted after another, you have committed adultery according to God's standards. Yes, I lied. I stole, coveted, and created a God to suit my needs, which is called idolatry. Yes, I lied. And I lied. And I lied to myself all these years. And I remember during that sermon, it's like, man, I'm such a liar. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Our righteousness is like filthy rags to God, and our works like chaff. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I realized that getting to heaven cannot be done by being a good enough person or doing enough good deeds that may turn God's face away from my sins. My good deeds would never outweigh my bad deeds. And there's only one way, and it's faith alone in God's Son. And then I knew I deserved hell, and the good news of God's plan to save us made sense for the first time. It was like a light bulb turned on to my need for the Savior. So I thought about it after that sermon. During that week, I thought about it quite a bit, about my own sin. And that just seemed to just bubble up in me is in regret, and just all of that just was pounding me day after day during that week. So I went home for the weekend, and as I was driving back from Fayetteville after visiting family and friends, I heard a song on the radio, and it was, "It Is Well With My Soul." It was like God gripped my heart in a vice, because I knew it wasn't well with my soul. I started to feel extreme guilt, and I started to cry and cry, and I couldn't stop crying. So I pulled over into a neighborhood, and I cried out to God to save me and to forgive me of my sins. And I surrendered to Christ that night, and remember the great weight of sin and guilt lift away from me. God led me right after that to Providence Baptist Church several weeks later. And that's where I met my wife, Paula, my future wife. And my worldview changed. My depression lifted, and I found purpose and hope. Fast forward to today. I know God is all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign, and ever-present. He knows the number of hairs on my head and knows the innermost desires of my heart. And before surrendering to Christ, I viewed God in a box that I could pull off a shelf in the time of need. It seems like I only called to him when there was a struggle or a problem. But now after all that, knowing that as a Christian today, I know that the Lord has opened my eyes to the truth. And his word came to life for me, and I see him as my king.
Wow, that was powerful. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes, you're welcome.
Well, praise to the Lord.
Yeah, that was definitely the Lord working. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Through all those years, opening my eyes in those times when mm-hmm. I seen where God rescued me again and again.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm. Who is the biggest influence in your life?
Of course, I would say Jesus would be my greatest influence, because I know he was there every step of the way throughout my life. You know, all the mistakes I made and Even him rescuing me that night from my sin, he was the only one that could pay my debt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm grateful for that. But, you know, here, I would say in this world, my wife and my best friend Jack probably are the two greatest influences for me, mainly because Jack influenced me throughout my younger life. Just he's the one that led me to Christ. He's the one that invited me to church and was a witness to me. He was the one that said, no, we shouldn't go to that party or go to that bar when I wanted to go. You know, at the time I wasn't saved, but he was probably the greatest influence for me knowing what Christ looks like in a Christian. And then I would have to say my wife. She is my soulmate. I just love living life together with her. Serving the Lord has been a great joy. She's the one that helped me learn to get rid of all the filth and sin in my life in our early walk, with my early walk with the Lord. You know, I was a cigarette smoker for 5 years prior to meeting Paula. And with her help, I was able to give up smoking in one day with some prayer. You know, God answered that prayer mightily. She gave me my first Bible. She taught me how to pray, how to have a quiet time. You know, but Jesus in his word has had the greatest impact in my life, I would have to say. I have seen God answer some really big prayers throughout my life. And that has really grown my faith the most.
Mm. Man. What is your life verse from Scripture and why?
Well, I really like Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, these verses have motivated me to rely on Christ every day. First of all, to fix my eyes on him as I abide in his love, mercy, and grace. You know, the Holy Spirit is sanctifying me day by day and making me reflect Christ more and more. And spending time with the Lord, praying and reading his word and keeping him in my thoughts throughout the day has been a great blessing. Secondly, it had helped me to be a better witness for Christ by loving others as I should and serving the Lord so that the gospel would be heard. And then finally, to put on the full armor of God so that I can battle sin in my daily walk. You know, every single morning when I wake up, I plop out of bed and right to my knees to praise the Lord, give thanks and ask him to equip me for the day with love and humility so that I can serve him well. You know, I use a structure in prayer to help me pray called the X prayer. You probably heard of this acrostic ACTS, right, Sammy?
Yeah.
It's basically for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And you know what? I must confess that I spend a lot of time on confession because I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. And then a lot of time in supplication. I really like to pray for my lost family and friends. That's really a big part of my prayer life.
Mm. Great. Well, in the introduction, I introduced you as Vietnamese American. So could you share a little bit about your experience growing up as Vietnamese American?
You know, it hasn't been very easy. I was born in Vietnam in the middle of the Vietnam War in 1970. And I spent the first 2 years of my life in Vietnam. And I guess in 1973, we were shipped out because, of course, Americans had to depart as they had lost the war there. So my family, my dad, mom, my the time, my brother and sister, and my two brothers and my sister, we moved to Fort Worth, Texas. So we were shipped there after the war. And then after being there in Texas for a year, we went to Gelnhausen, Germany, which is a army base right near, you know, the communists in that area at the time. So there was a Cold War going on, and you know, I remember Germany quite well, coming up through kindergarten and first grade, and just sensing that war was imminent. Even as a very young child at age of 5 and 6, I sensed that there was something not right in the world. Right. And war was on, you know, my dad's mind a lot, and I can tell he was defending a great cause. But after 4 years being there, we moved to Fort Bragg in North Carolina here, and I was 7 years at the time. Trying to pick up on language was a big thing. My mom is an illiterate Vietnamese. She never went to school. So I spent a lot of my younger years with her learning the language of English, but it was very broken. So even coming to America, I had somewhat of a broken English language, not knowing Vietnamese because she never taught us Vietnamese or spoke to us growing up as children. I just never fully grasped even the English language at a young age. So when I started school in America, it was a huge transition for me. Mm-hmm. Trying to speak, in fact, I was very shy at the time and felt very out of place, being probably the only Asian in the class here in Spring Lake, North Carolina. I remember, I've seen other types of folks, African-American kids, American white, and some Spanish or Mexican kids in the class, but I felt out of place because there was no other Asians in my class. Right. So that was quite a, I would say, a huge transition for me growing up. So that really impacted my school, my schoolwork. In fact, I was so shy that I kind of focused in just on the work. Mm-hmm. I did the work, I did the homework. I excelled. I was the top in my class, even in elementary school. I got straight A's. I was at perfect attendance, and I kind of prided myself as a young boy. It's like, wow, I'm doing pretty good here. But one of the things about that was that, being kind of isolated, being shy, not talking to people, I did feel quite lonely growing up through school, even though I had all my brothers and my sister to pile around and play with at home and after school and stuff. But I do remember, even at that age, having some struggles with some of the kids that served in their parents, their father or mother served in the Vietnam War as well. And I had one incident in the cafeteria where this young African-American boy said, "You can't sit next to me," because his dad died in the Vietnam War. And he saw me as a Vietnamese traitor or something. I don't know what he saw me, but he hated me, and he had nothing to do with me. But I didn't understand that too much because I didn't really understand the war at that age. I really didn't know how to respond. I said, okay, I'll go sit elsewhere, and so I did. It was a little later in the school year that I actually became friends with him and really learned what really happened. His dad died, and I got it. I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, my dad served in the war alongside your dad, probably, but he survived." So, that was a good moment at a young age, seeing that, hey, we all struggle. Mm-hmm. We all struggle, especially during that time. So, just growing up during that era in the 70s, there was the Cold War as well. There was a lot of fear. People really fearing whether, Russia or America would push the button and there would be a nuclear war and that it would destroy everybody. Mm. So at that tender age, even then, I kind of had a very serious outlook of the world. It's like, this is pretty nasty. This is a nasty world. And I kind of understood sin in kind of my own way. Mm. Like, wow, we want to kill each other because we want to have our own belief systems, right? Mm. So that was kind of my young life as a young boy in America, trying to transition, trying to make friends, but finding it very hard to do so because of my shyness. Mm. Through my middle school years, it kind of changed. I kind of got out of my shell. I changed the way I looked. Instead of having my hair parted to the side like most Asian kids at the time, I started using hairspray and making it go straight up and trying to match what the other kids looked like in school. And so I try to, conform to the way they looked and acted and talked. Mm-hmm. And that was me in the middle school years, just trying to fit in and feel like I was accepted by them, trying to make friends. My school grades still did very well. I excelled and made straight A's and I did very well through my middle school years. And then high school comes along and things changed a little bit there. I started hanging out with some of the wrong crowd and started going to parties with them, drinking, smoking, just doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And this was probably my 11th grade, junior year, when this all started happening. But even during that same year, this is when I met Jack. God introduced me to my Christian friend, Jack. And that's where things changed. You know, I spent maybe 3 years hanging out with the wrong crowd. But God rescued me through Jack because I started hanging out with him, seeing that what I was doing was very wrong. So he became my best friend. I kind of let go of my bad influenced friends, and things turned around for the good at that point. I ended up graduating number 8 in my class of about 800 students in my senior class, so I feel very proud of that. I feel like that was a good start for my college career, thinking I would get into electronics engineering, and that's where my focus was for the next couple of years. So that's kind of catching you up to where I talked about in my testimony about going off to working in with Northern Telecom here at Research Triangle Park in Raleigh-Durham area. But that's kind of my life in a nutshell. Growing up, it was just a time of a discovery, a time of fear and some pain, and a time of just getting to know people really on a one-on-one basis.
Wow, that's great. My last question for you is, what is your life vision?
Okay, I would say it would be to be pleasing to my Lord and Savior, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:31 is also one of my life verses. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You know, I hope to, you know, I would see Jesus in the Bema Seat judgment someday, and he would say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. And so my vision as I live out my life is to be pleasing. And I think the most passionate thing I can say I'm passionate about is sharing the gospel and just being a witness, an evangelist, someone who displays Christ well. And, you know, that's one of the things I pray for every single day. My family and friends would come to know Christ, because I know that's the cure for our disease of death. And that's the cure of our sin. So for me, that's what I hope I'm remembered for when I leave. My daughters would say, yes, he lived life well. He shared the gospel with everybody he knew. And God got the glory.
Amen.
Yes.
Wow. Brother, thank you so much for sharing your personal stories. In the next episode, we'll love to hear how God is using you as an evangelist to share the gospel, to reach the lost people. I recently heard a very exciting story from you, so I'm very excited to share your story through this podcast.
Thank you, Sammy. I appreciate being a part of this.
Well, thank you. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.